Otis.
This is a legit story that we found where two drunk friends were now dealing with swollen, infected junk because they decided that they read on YouTube you could put Pyle's cream to create extra girth. Gruesome pictures were published in a medical journal. Thank God this article did not publish
those. No, I want to see the pictures.
No, what?
Yeah, I do. I do want to see the pictures. Meanwhile, okay, I'm not. Oh my God!
What
is that?
What?
Oh no!
Don't even send it to me. I don't know.
Oh no.
Bernie.
I can't get those pictures.
What's going on there?
I close my eyes and all I see are those penises.
You better not go back to them after we get off this podcast.
I'm already feeling awkward right now. Hang on. Go back right. Oh, why did I go back? It was a bad idea to go back.
Terrible. Absolutely
awful
terrible.
Awful idea to go back.
This is Weird with Otis and Bernie.
Oh, yeah. Season 2.
What?
We made it all the way through season 1. Took a little break because May is wild around both of our households. And we're back for season 2.
What?
Hopefully there's an audience that came back too.
I didn't do dick while we were off. I did nothing.
No, nothing at all?
Nothing.
I've been authoring books. I've been doing VO for YouTube. Birthdays, anniversaries, Mother's Day, school ending. May has been crazy. This is weird. It's already getting weird, and we appreciate you joining us for season 2. This is where we just cover weird things around the world, weird things in our life, and bring in our weird friends like Dino, who's going to join us today. And author, radio star.
He's wearing glasses for a weird reason. Okay, let me back up. My friend Demetrius Moore is on the podcast with us this week, and he popped on. Now, he and I went to college together. We haven't seen each other for a long time. And when I knew Dino on a regular kind of day-to-day basis, it would not be unusual for him to have sunglasses on. And now we're well removed from college, and he still is wearing the damn sunglasses. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, he's not lost a step of cool. And so many more of us have. But Dino has not. Welcome to This Is Weird, man.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I have to point out the fact that he's got a full cityscape behind him in this Zoom video that we have of Atlanta.
That's
with
right.
The sunglasses. It's like 9 o'clock at night right now.
Exactly.
You can't see anything.
It's freaking beautiful. You look good. Like, you look good, Bernie. I mean, I thought you would age much more horribly.
I mean, well, yeah, we all did. We all thought
I definitely
that, yeah,
did.
We all thought I aged badly.
Exactly. You're hanging on there, you know.
I mean,
living on a prayer.
I'm doing what I can. But he's here this week. We got to know each other on Facebook, and we thought we'd let him come and hang out because he always makes me laugh when we talk. What I didn't tell him was the topic of tonight's conversation. That was the topic of this week's show, why Donald Trump was right about everything.
I'm in for this.
That is the topic.
He's here for it.
Empirically right about everything he said ever.
I'm in on this with both feet. I'm all in on this.
Dude, I'm sorry, but with those glasses in the background and the way you move your head, I feel like Stevie Wonder's on the podcast now.
He's very...
This is Dino after dark.
Hey. It does. Well, Dino, when we...
You kind of have the Stevie head thing. Like you're doing the... When you talk, you wave a little. I like
That's right.
When he was... When we knew each other, we worked in college radio, and he did the Sunday night love show.
I did.
I know what you're saying to yourself. That's not that's a tough kick. No, it wasn't for him. Not at all. He was very good at it.
I did it. Bernie was my engineer. He went off his sheet, did the morning show, and then he would engineer for me at nights, which was cool.
Somehow, Bernie has gone through life and found the coolest friends, myself included.
And it hasn't.
And he is the least cool person.
Right. It's you'd think that just by osmosis, it would have rubbed off at some point, but no, never. I have stayed true to myself.
Let me tell you how Bernie, I'm from Washington, D.C. Bernie was receiving a radio award in college. For some reason, these idiots started to give him an award for something. Yeah, exactly. Because he sucked. He sucked. He's awful. He comes to D.C. to get this award, and I'm there. I'm like, hey, let's go out. So I take Bernie to a shake joint in the middle of the hood.
Now, you guys know. You guys know.
If anybody's got street cred, it's Bernie Mac.
Look. You guys know, and Dino knows, other races frighten me. And it's not because of any other reason. I'm just frightened. I'm a frightened person. I'm easily shook by anything that's not like me. It scares me.
It was, yeah.
And terrified.
It was, he's the one white guy in the place. And he leans over and asks me, first he says, you know, why do all the strippers know you? So I'm like,
well, let's back up. I want to back up in the story. The backup in the story is we meet earlier in the night and we got really drunk.
Yes.
Okay. So this trip, this ill-advised trip, and I knew what he was doing when we got in the cab or we walked or whatever we did. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this seems like a terrible idea. And I know what you're saying to yourself. That was a long time ago. I was dressed that night like I'm dressed tonight. Like, like I was in khakis and like a t-shirt. Khakis? I was in khakis and a t-shirt.
So everyone that you encountered thought to themselves, what is this guy doing here?
Oh, they thought he was adorable. The strippers, like, and like one of the strippers was on stage in the middle of her set, and she says, Dino! And she runs off the stage. And I'm like, me and my friend Bernie, and now they're all over. They thought he was adorable. They're like, oh my God. And they're like playing in his hair.
I'm
and stuff.
Very likable. I can chalk that up to me being very likable.
It was a night of nights. I can't, you know, he's married, so I want to, you know, he didn't do anything illicit.
No, nothing. But nothing.
He got a lot of dance on, though.
I was broke. I remember that. I remember I was broke when we got there. It was college.
It was college, yeah.
I didn't have any money when I walked in the door.
Yeah, but I told him, I said, don't worry, nothing will happen to you in this area.
And it was great. Nothing. And when you put me in a cab to go back to my hotel room, and you're like, it's about 3:30 in the morning. Duck till you get to the freeway. Duck until you get to the freeway.
It was awful neighborhood, but it was crazy. It was one of those strip clubs where the girls got bullet holes and stab wounds and burn scars.
It was a night I will never forget. Well, I forgot a lot of it, but I do remember some of it. It's hazy.
Bernie went back to his hotel room and wrote a Yelp review.
Do you get to throw 50 cents if she's missing a leg?
Oh, yeah. Wow. They probably have little cut jars for change receptacles. This lady, I catch the change.
I've been to a few of those clubs, and it is an experience everyone should have in life, I feel like.
Yeah, something you can never unsee.
Otis, your thoughts on, and Dina was there that night. Otis, give us your thoughts on what you think I was like that evening.
Awkward.
Yeah,
way out of place. I feel like the whole time you were like, is this going to end? And when can I go home?
You know, you're pretty close. It's not that I wasn't having a good time. I thought to myself, I don't belong here. And everybody here knows that I don't belong here.
Yeah. The guys were looking at him crazy because the girls were all over him. Like the guys at the bar, they were looking over there like they were getting upset. But, you know, it was my neighborhood. So I'm like, all right, it's happen, so you don't worry about it. I'm kind of a big deal around here.
All right.
I wish I was there that night. I would have enjoyed every minute of every bit of that. God, to see Bernie in that situation.
If I recall correctly, at one point in the evening, we came upon a group of people that had just been in like a pageant of some kind, and they had won a tall pageant.
Yes.
It was a pageant that was for tall people.
Yes, yes. God, your recall is amazing.
We were in a bar. And the people there were all huge. They're all like, why is everybody that's over 6'5 hanging out over there in the corner? Because we were just in a pageant to find the best tall person.
It was weird. I mean, it's always my dream to be like, you know how babies, they have those carriers you carry babies in?
Yeah.
I'm going to find someone big enough to put me in one of those and carry me around. I mean, I would love to be carried around and like in this, like in a grocery store and pick my groceries off the aisle.
How did we get here?
Wait, you want to be a giant baby?
Doesn't everybody know?
What? How did we get to your fetish out of strip clubs with Bernie? This got real weird real fast, and we appreciate that.
Rolling in a strip club, and he wants to be a giant baby.
Once he mentioned a giant people, I thought about that. I would love to be one of those little carriers and just have my legs straight. You know how baby's legs stick straight out, my legs sticking straight out, my arms out, and just picking stuff out of the grocery store.
Okay. I have to... My story isn't long or that impressive, but the weirdest moment when you mentioned Amazonian at strip club kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, the tall people were not at the strip club. This was two entirely different experiences. There was the tall people and then the strip. There wasn't so we weren't at some kind of niche strip club that was only tall strippers.
No, we were just in some kind of weird 80s movie that just went on for a long time.
Yeah, it feels like The Hangover.
Oh, it really was a memorable evening. You packed a lot into that night.
My weirdest strip club moment was post the Frey concert.
Everybody parties after the Frey.
The couple guys from the band were like, hey, are there any clubs still open? It was kind of after hours for clubs. So we're like, well, the Uptown Cabaret is still open. Let's go there. Packed like three of the Frey into the back of the small car. I took
the Frey to a strip club.
You did not party with the Frey.
It gets better. We get there. The wrestler China is the special guest for the evening.
Sure. Well, yeah. And that's what happens.
God rest her soul.
God rest China's soul.
And so, yes, a couple of the Frey guys got lap dances from China. And
she would fit.
I don't have any pictures for TMZ.
She would fit at the tall strip club. She would be like a headliner at the tall strip club.
Exactly.
It was weird. It was weird.
You took the Frey to a strip club.
That's got my story beat. So you said the Frey. Mine was over me.
Oh, man.
It was a grand night, and I don't remember a lot of it other than China did not give me any type of feeling of, God, that's sexy. Mm. No, it was complete opposite of that.
No, totally. It's you look at China and you're like,
she can squeeze me so hard my head will pop off.
You get those weird feelings. You're like, should I be watching
this?
It's
the opposite of arousal. Whatever the opposite of arousal is. Yes,
complete flaccid.
Man, I am so flaccid right now.
We digressed horribly.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow, thank you, Dino. I'm glad you told that story. Well.
Season two starts out with great strip club stories.
Great strip club stories.
and Donald Trump yet to come.
We still got to go over all the things that Donald Trump did correctly coming up.
This is going to be a great night.
So we're into summertime. Otis, what are you doing with your summer vacation so far? So look, you're still unemployed. Did you find a job while we were off?
I have self-employed myself with audio engineering, voiceover work, and now I'm doing book narration. Dino, an author himself, what's the name of your book?
The Rhythm of the Streets. It's about two guys growing up in D.C. to drug-dealing brothers. Very much like Empire kind of a deal.
That sounds right up my alley. I think I can narrate it. I would sound totally in the demo for that.
No. There you go.
God, no.
A lot of N-word being slung around in that book.
It's just Otis arriving to a spot in the text where he goes, and then, it's a lot of that.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with this.
My wife tells me that if we go to, you go to a fast food joint and the person on the other end, talks a little street. She's like, you change. So they're like, hey, welcome to McDonald's. How can we help you? And I'm like, instead of me going, can I get a number two with some fries and a Sprite? I like immediately for some reason, it's nothing I try to do.
You're the Carson Daly of ordering fast food.
I go like this. I go immediately. I go, yeah, let me get that. Let me get the number two.
You don't do the voice.
And then, some curly fries.
I don't want to do this.
And,
I don't want to do this.
That's a skill, buddy. Put this shit on your resume.
It's not even like I just do it.
Multiple languages. That's on the resume.
I don't.
You just go into like it's a.
Is it possible like that I go, is it possible that I would go in the opposite direction?
Yes.
But I've done that though. When I go and my wife tells me this, when I go around people and when I go to nicer places, I'm like, hey, how are you?
Same. I change. I guess it's a dialect. You just change like your swag at that moment.
Oh,
don't have you either like, you go to a steakhouse and you're like, got to put the forks in the right spot and be all proper. Yeah. You go to McDonald's on South Side and you're like, let me get that number
this
three.
It's not something that I don't think that I do any of this.
You should try. I've tried to give up the Jamaican accent at the Jamaican spot and I'm awful with it. They look at me like, what?
It's like, why do you sound like Shaggy?
Like, what are you trying to order?
Are you Mr. Boombastic? Why are you talking like that?
I don't know. There's something that's going on, man. It just takes over me. Like give me those jerk chicken.
Oh, I tried it. When I'm at a Spanish restaurant, I try to pronunciate things the correct way.
Roll the tongue.
I'm not great at that.
You roll the tongue with the tongue. Let me hit the tongue.
What have we learned? I don't attempt to do the dialect.
I'm not attempting. It just happens. I'm not like trying to do it. It just like something in my brain switches, and I don't know. I don't even know how to explain why it comes out that way. It just does.
But you understand, you don't change externally. You keep saying that this switch goes off. You don't change externally, so you just look like a guy trying to order some quesadillas.
Bernie, you got to be more worldly, Bernie. Come on, you got to give it a shot.
I know. I don't have to give it a shot.
I think it kind of has to do with like it's the same thing with I'm with my wife's father. He's super Southern, so he starts using all that slang, like Southern like twang. Mm-hmm. And within a day and a half, I'm using it. Like, that's how I'm talking. So it's some function in my brain.
You have to adapt to the surroundings.
To the situation.
Oh, God. Yeah. Give it a month, you'd be sitting on the front porch whittling. I'm whittling. I'm making a knife. You making a knife with a knife? Yeah.
Yeah.
Making a knife with a knife.
Yeah, so, Otis, you were talking about... over the summer vacation. And this is kind of we're in a time where it is uncomfortable to talk about race.
It is. And it comes up at weird situations. People are all kind of like, it's a topic that a lot of people bring up now, and which is good. We're all having discussion. We're all talking, trying to be better. I think,
how are the events of the last year? And then how have they come to shape right now? Like, we have this conversation, we're two white dudes. Like, how do we have a conversation? Because I'm getting to something bigger here. How do we have a conversation that it's a very uncomfortable conversation to have?
Well, I have a unique perspective with everything that's happened. I have two daughters who live in DC. They're both Capitol Police. That's the beginning. So they were there doing the insurrection thing.
Yeah.
So, but I understand the life of a police officer. I have several family members that are police officers. So I do know for a fact that no one dislikes rogue or dirty police more than good police.
Yeah.
But I also know that there is this veil that they're forced to live behind, that like when people say, why aren't good cops standing up and speaking about what's going on? They can't. They can't. They're trapped. It's weird how it's like the ebb and flow of things. History repeats itself.
Of course.
So what we're going through now is just the 60s all over again. You know, we didn't solve it. So it's just come back up. We had a good time during the 80s and like late 70s, 80s, 90s. The race thing, for a large part, it went away. It was, people were just living, especially during the Reaganomics era and all this other stuff. People were, you know, sniffing coke, you know.
it was nothing but junk bonds and cocaine everywhere. It was great.
Exactly. It was getting rich. It was cool. Then Clinton came along and he like balanced the budget. Everybody was happy. It was cool stuff. So that for a large part, it went away. But, you know, when you stop talking about something or you stop addressing it, eventually it's going to come back up. And it has. And speaking about Donald Trump, I kind of dig Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is like a mirror for what the silent majority in this country really thinks. He's just dumb enough to say it out loud. I mean, he's like,
on Twitter.
You know what? Exactly. Somebody let him at his account. And he just, yeah. Because every other president, if you think about it, they go through channels. When they want to send a tweet, that goes through like 7 different people for a spell check and everything like that. And right. This is the right thing you want to say and all that. And then they send it out and it sounds very...
Right, yeah, very, you know, polished. Rehearsed. Very, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, nah, I'm in my bedroom with my phone.
I mean, not much I like about the guy. There is something refreshing about, hey, you know, he's not actually going to say that out loud. Oh, he is. Okay, great. yeah. And I didn't mean to go down the serious path, although it is a very serious thing, but we are two white guys that were looking to have a conversation. The reason that this came up was because of something that Otis told me, that we were like, well, we want to have this conversation. And I thought that you could add something to it, Dino. Otis, I give you the floor.
For me, when I walk into the room with anybody, I don't get a feeling based on what you look like or what color you are or what have you. Like, I just don't get that feeling. Obviously, we all have that feeling if somebody feels off, regardless of white, black, brown, green, blue, purple, you can kind of be like,
that you're like, that's the one. That's the guy. who's the problem in the room? It's that guy right there. I can see that guy.
So to me, I don't get those feelings. But I come into this random conversation. I don't even know how it started. It was a family friend who is 90 years old. Okay. Oh.
Old school, and you're in the South. Old school,
old school Southern.
Old school Southern. Yeah.
And he goes, so I think it was something that came on TV or whatever. And I knew that things were going to awry when the statement came, like, so I don't have a problem with people of another color. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. God,
here we go.
Why does it start with that every time?
It's starting great.
Why is America not great?
this is starting good. This is going to be good.
And then, well, okay. I like to be around them.
Oh, God.
No. I like to...
No, we're not doing this.
Associate. Even work with them.
I don't care for this.
But, and I'm like, oh, here we go.
Oh, jeez.
This is always the preface to something racist coming. And I'm like, how do you, first of all, you're 90 years old. So what am I going to say to you at this point? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think at the end of the day, we should all go back to our own neighborhoods.
No, mine's no good. I don't care for that.
No.
Old school. Yeah. Old school. You know, you live in the South, you live in Georgia. There's nothing like an old school racist.
I'm gonna tell you, this is like up north, they have subtle racism. In the South, I want, like, if somebody's gonna hit you with a brick, I want to see the hand and throw it, and they don't get, like, I went to Mississippi, man, they've got prime racist there. I mean, they got it's a beautiful,
as racism beautiful goes, thing. It's great.
Oh my gosh, move out of the way. No. You're not coming in here.
Thankfully, I'm just glad the N-word didn't come out. That makes me super uncomfortable and I get pissed immediately.
But man, they love it.
Family friend, 90 years old, and here's me about to talk some knowledge to them, right? So look, I was like, that's not how we think these days. That's a terrible thought and it's racist. And he's like, well, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that they're fine. They're fine. It's just that, you know, people of
they're not fine.
Certain races, they like people of the same race because they get along. And so then why can't we all just have, I'm like, oh.
At what point I don't think you can talk anybody out of it at 90 years old. When you're getting to a certain point, you can't really, you know, we don't. Just stop.
Yeah. I had a kid that worked for me who took me over to his house. Kid, first of all, his dad is like super rich. Like, he invented some, like, one of the chips you put in cell phones. Apparently it makes them work. So he's got like super, like, crazy amount of money.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I go to his house and we're downstairs in his theater watching some stuff, and he would go upstairs and their cook is making us food. And it's like, yeah, grandma's in the West Wing. And he said, yeah, my grandmother, she's racist. Just want you to know. When she talks about black people, she calls them Canadians.
What is that? By the way, not only is that racist, it's also really ugly to Canadians. Like, that's not great for Canadians either. I think everybody learns on that.
I heard a couple bad things about Canadians. Like, I just don't like when Canadians come in the house.
Just what is that?
I'm like, all right.
All right.
I was loving it. I'm like, give me some more.
Points for creativity.
Oh yeah, it was great. but you gotta understand, like, I, you know, coming from DC, never had a white kid in my school ever, from, you know, elementary to high school. Then going to Eastern Kentucky University, they had 17,800 students, 500 black. So now I'm like, okay, wow, I was surrounded by the enemy. Yeah, it was it was really cool. But before I went to EKU, I went in the military. Now this is something I learned. This is where I learned that stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason.
Yeah.
Like when they say black people can't swim, black people can't swim. Let me just tell you. We had to do like swim qualifications in the Marine Corps. We, you know, you jump off the little thing and you swim, and you got to swim a certain amount of, you know, yards, and then you get out of the pool. All the brothers were singing. They were singing like stones.
Yeah, I know.
They were just jumping in. But I thought about it. Yeah, in the hood, there's 150 people in this little wading pool, and it's jumping around, getting wet. There's no swimming going on, you know, so you don't learn how to swim. You just, you know. And then they say, you know, I had a guy in boot camp, I said, you guys really like chicken and watermelon? Oh. I'm like, yeah, I like chicken and watermelon. Show me somebody who doesn't like chicken.
You know what the thing is?
Show me a white person that doesn't love chicken and watermelon.
Here's the thing about chicken and watermelon. It's delicious.
You can eat the watermelon and not be thirsty?
Right.
Wow.
It's great.
That's the best fruit ever.
You know who likes chicken and watermelon? Everybody.
Exactly.
Everybody likes chicken. I mean, come on.
You know, stereotypes are what they are for a reason, though. I mean,
and we're dealing with so many different generational realms.
That's the thing,
and that's what kind of this opened my eyes to, is that, you know, everybody has a different experience. This 90-year-old had gone through so much more than I have in life and had these experiences. And then that creates this thought process later on in life. You would think that having gone through segregation, they would have already seen that that was a horrible idea. You know what I'm saying? That the way they were talking, like, no, you've already seen that. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. And then I said, I even went into the religious part. I said, look, we're all made in the eyes of God. I know you're a godly person. So there's no way you can say that.
Except for Canadians, am I right?
Except for Canadians, am I right? Canadians.
Like talking to a brick wall, though. This young whippersnapper doesn't know what they're talking about.
I don't know how to deal with, and it's become very clear over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, there is a solid thick line generationally, a couple of thick lines generationally in this country, where one generation gets it and one generation doesn't get it, and it's that line is very, very thick, thicker than I ever thought it was before, I guess.
Yeah, well, me, I learned one thing. One first thing I learned at EKU, I've got more in common with a poor white person than I do a rich black person. And that's for damn sure. Like, I remember running into a black girl in the library at EKU. She's crying, saying, yeah, my dad told me if I don't major in finance, he's not going to pay my tuition. And I'm like, well, go to financial aid. She didn't even know where the building is. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like,
right.
I live off financial aid. It's how I survive. You know,
bro, I feel you. Like, I grew up in trailer parks. So, when I tell my wife that we used to eat ramen and, hamburger helper,
mm-hmm.
She don't even know what I'm talking about. She never lived a life. So,
yeah.
Okay, you're slipping.
You probably ate some hamburger helper. Me and you could probably relate on some things, but me and my wife can't even relate to.
Exactly. You're slipping into the voice, Otis. You did now.
I didn't, did I?
You know what I'm saying, man? Stop it.
Yeah,
stop. Oh my God.
You know what I mean? I didn't even mean to.
Stop it. I want to play the tape.
Raindrops. Drop box. Quick enough, go get the hot box.
This is weird.
Well, guys, I think we solved race in America. Your thoughts?
There we go.
I think we solved it. I think we got it.
Hey, but you know what, though? Going back to the subject, remember in the 80s and like early 90s when every rapper wanted to be Donald Trump?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And that's the, well, I don't, you know, not to go down the road, but that's the thing is he represented a certain, you talk about class.
Yeah.
He represented a different class of people. And I agree with your experience at EKU. I get it. I understand that. And I think it's more of a class thing than I've always thought it was more of a class thing than it was ever a race thing. But that's just me.
You know, and this is the funny thing. I knew he was going to win the election. I came home the night I voted and told my wife he was going to win. Well, during the whole campaign, I was like, uh-oh. I know he's setting himself up to win because of the generation that this is, because of the reality show thing. Everybody, think about realities from the first Real World. People watch it. The one that they kick off the show is always the one that gets his own show. The one that they hate the most, he doesn't apologize. Yeah. The one that's the villain, they always get their own show. And that's who he was. I'm never going to apologize. I'm never going to do this. He was setting himself up. But I was standing in line to vote. And there was a guy said, I like Hillary, but I just can't see a woman as president. And that's when I knew there were probably 100,000 more of him out there somewhere.
Right.
And it wasn't the fact. It wasn't a Democrat Republican thing. It was that she was a woman and they just didn't want a woman. And I'm like, uh-oh, he's going to win.
Because
he didn't even know he was going to win.
There's a book out there not to go down the path, but the summation, the thesis of the book is for the better part of 20 years, we have had reality programming in our life, reality TV, all of that sort of stuff. People claiming reality that is not real. You watch the Kardashians, you're like, this is reality programming, but it's all scripted. Mm-hmm. But it's being presented as reality. The Apprentice is being presented as reality. We just turn the cameras on and these things happened organically. None of it. Survivor, none of it. And so the thesis of the book is we've been presented reality that's not real for 20 years. So you present a guy who played a character of XYZ, and then everybody goes, oh, that's the guy that was the boardroom guy who fired, and he was business, and he was this, and he was that. And I'm not even applying politics to that. I'm just applying that if you presented anyone, you know, The Rock is talking about running for president. What do you know about The Rock? Well, the answer is none, nothing. But you know that The Rock has saved the world 25 times. You know,
I'm voting for Will Smith over The Rock.
Are you Will Smith?
They elected a 70-something Ronald Reagan. Think about it. It's this cowboy guy,
right?
Got to be president. That's the name recognition. That's just it. You know, just it's, name recognition.
Can't wait to tell my grandkids about Khloe Kardashian, our president.
You laugh.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well,
imagine looking at that booty at the press conference all the time, though. I mean, I'm in for that. I don't even care what her policies are.
American. I can't look.
Yeah. Real quick, we worked in campus radio. We worked in student radio together. We were talking about it over the conversation the other day. You did a bit on my show that I was like, did I write the bit? And you answered me yes. And I thought to myself, this is a bit that could get me canceled at this point. Yes. And the bit was what?
Showtime with Shabazz. He was a racist movie reviewer.
I mean,
he was like, we're going to review these movies. He's like, I want you to just come in there and just cut loose on me and my guy. Just go as crazy as you want to. And he's like, hey, Shabazz. I'm like, hey, white boys. And it just went downhill from there.
Holds up. I'm going to say it holds up.
it was bad.
We're not gonna find the tapes. I think I have all the tapes. Yeah,
can we hear some old clips?
Nope.
You know they're going to come back.
We're not going to do clips.
That's how cancel culture
Let's
is.
Let's not do
they're
clips.
They're going to find something from 12 years ago.
I don't want to do
ago.
Clips.
Bernie's over. Oh,
let's not do clips.
Well, let me introduce you to season 2, Otis and Dino.
This is Weird. This is Weird.
Back season 2, episode 1. And things are getting weird around here. If you've missed the first part of the show, you missed a lot.
We solved race.
I don't know.
this is weirdpod.com is where you can find the past episodes of the show. Follow us on our socials. What do we got tonight?
So Pitbull and Tony Robbins, the self-help guru.
Yeah.
Would you ever expect those two to be best buddies?
I mean, yeah. They seem like they would run in the same social circles.
Yeah, well, they're both pretty motivational. If you listen to any Pitbull song, you're ready to get the dance floor.
I mean, Pitbull, well, both. You know what? You know what 2020 wasn't? Pitbull's kind of year. Pitbull's kind of year is not 2020 where you're inside all the time. Pitbull needs a stage. We haven't seen him since Jennifer Lopez and Shakira did the Super Bowl. Like, that was the last time we saw Pitbull.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Been a minute. Well, if you watch NASCAR, you're going to see him a lot more. He was just at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the last race with self-help guru Tony Robbins because they together are going to form a NASCAR team. True story.
Really?
They've got a driver already. Daniel Suarez is going to be the only Mexican in the NASCAR Cup Series.
Okay.
And they told the Charlotte Observer that they were going to join in and work together in some level. And that they're excited about putting this team together.
Sure. I can see that. So Tony Robbins and Pitbull getting a NASCAR team together. We thought that would make a fantastic
punchline challenge. You know, if I had to guess the car's number, I'd say probably 305.
305 is going to be 305, right? Does the pit crew change the tires or keep the Bud Light Lime stock?
Can you imagine the pep talk from Tony before the race?
It's great.
Just want to get in the car. He's like,
oh, just shut up.
You're either going to win this race or you're going to be motivated to change your life and career right there on the spot.
Usually it's after a night of Pitbull that the room is spinning. The room. See the difference being that. Okay.
There's audio from Pitbull at the track if you want to hear it. Here we go.
No track. Yes, sir. Yo, run it. Yeah. 100-mile race, a lot of pit stops, but we really gonna pit go. A lot of people didn't believe, but now they respect. Why? Because track house, baby, we gonna bring it. With that said, Chris and all the NASCAR, get ready, baby, because you're looking at the future. Track house on three. 1, 2, 3.
Track house!
Does anybody know what he just said? Did that have anything to do with racing?
I can't drive the car because I've had a lot of shots of tequila. I can't drive
the car. I'm not sure
car.
I trust that team at all, because the tequila and fireball before the race is probably a horrible idea. Right. I know they're dropping that.
I could see them popping bottles during the pit stops. Just champagne everywhere. Right. Not even after the race.
We need you guys to change the tires. Put the champagne away. Change the tires. The pit crew's job is to change the tires, gas the car, and squeegee off Tony Robbins' teeth.
There's only one person I could think that would be more of an annoying owner than Pitbull and Tony Robbins.
Oh, I think I know.
DJ Khaled!
Yes.
We're the best! Another one.
Every time you win a race.
Another one.
Like, you just got here.
I can see the car having spinning rims.
Oh, dude. Nice. Yes. Very good.
Please.
Very good.
Can we get some spinning rims on that thing? Or like those blades like that go in the middle? You know that... Or maybe hydraulics would be sick.
There you go. Tony Robbins and Pitbull.
NASCAR's changing,
everybody. They pulled that Confederate flag and they changed everything.
Diversity is best.
NASCAR's woke. Well, that is the Punchline Challenge for the week. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for following us on socials and in thisisweirdpod.com.
Dino, thanks for joining us, man. And, we appreciate it. We'll have to have you back in, dude. It was fun.
Thank you for having me. I got to check in with my probation officer.
Oh, God, no. Come on. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
This is Weird.